Good evening and welcome to Studio 865. Tonight, here with his guitar, we have Shane Parrish. Thanks for coming in.
Hey.
You're from not very far away. You're from Asheville, or did you grow up there? You just been living there for a while?
I've been living there for some time, since 2001. I moved there, yeah.
So you've been there long enough to see it really start to undergo like a major change.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. I have.
How is it as a music town?
It's really great, and it's changed a lot. I think when I first moved there in 2001, there was a club there called Vincent's Ear. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but they had a good run of about 12 or 15 years, and it was just an immediate support for what I was doing creatively and I moved from Florida to Asheville, and I had never really experienced any kind of music community, you know, a sense of like mutual support and encouragement that really, I think, had a huge influence on like just the directions I took. I formed my main band, Aluchatistas, out of that place, and they just gave me free rein to work and create and become part of that community. And then it got gentrified out of existence, but the town still has some really good clubs and really great musicians, and it's very diverse musically. So
yeah, and your new record is called Undertaker Please Drive Slow, of course, is one of the key lines from Will the Circle Be Unbroken,
right?
And I just got the CD from you just a moments ago. Your selection of songs, and these are all instrumental versions,
right?
And of course, some of these are very known for their lyrics,
mm-hmm.
but I've always loved Appalachian music's sort of spiritual feel and the melodies and the haunting sort of aspect to the music. So it's really kind of a thrill that someone is focusing on just that aspect. How did this happen?
Interesting story. I wasn't really planning to do this, until, but when I recorded the original demo and the original selection of tunes, I have a daughter that was going to be 2 years old next month, and I had started to sing her a lot of Appalachian tunes and folk tunes and country tunes, and started to kind of become more and more familiar with that music. And I mean, I'm a fan of all music, so it wasn't totally unfamiliar to me, but I just started to go deeper with it, and I had this book called Happy Traums, like country folk guitar picking or something like that, with all these tunes in it. And I've taught some of them to some students and, learned like the Carter picking style. And I've also been interested in Mississippi John Hurt's guitar playing, and I've learned several of his tunes and some Elizabeth Cotton. And so that was in there along with classical guitar and, jazz and just noise, experimental music, and all the different interests that I have. But so one day I decided I was going to record the song The Cuckoo, which has a really kind of pretty, minor melody. And instead of making an arrangement for it, I recorded like 12 tunes out of this book really loosely. Some of them I hadn't even heard before. Like I had never heard Danville Gal, for example, and I just really like used these charts, the scores, as a springboard to improvise and really let go in a very like meditative, like sleepy state. I recorded it in an hour, and it was really, it felt very, very spiritual and very effortless and very like just letting go, after trying to play guitar so hard for almost 25 years. It was just a very relaxed kind of feel. And it happened so suddenly that when I would listen back to the recording of it. It really felt like someone else had played it, and that I was, you know, I just listened to it several times, and I sent it to some people, and that's how I ended up getting the opportunity to record for John Zorn's record label, Tzadik. And then we talked, and he suggested some of the, you know, some selections, you know, like Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, and Oh Death by Doc Boggs, and I just started took it really seriously from there, and then started to select tunes that I've loved for a long time, for like Katie Cruel, or, you know, and Last Kind Words, and there's a general theme of, you know, death and judgment around this material.
Well, let's hear some of that recording. This is from Shane Parrish's Undertaker, Please Drive Slow, Katie Cruel. You're listening to Studio 865. With us in the studio, Shane Parrish. You just heard Katie Cruel from his brand new recording, Undertaker, Please Drive Slow. Did you worry about when you went in to make the record in the proper studio,
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't be able to channel that meditative state that just came to you, maybe because you were a certain level of tired and not trying?
Right. Yeah, that was a huge concern. And I will say that it wasn't easy actually recording this record. I did it in 2 days under really good circumstances. I was out in a cabin in the woods. My friend Ryan let us take over, and this producer, engineer, David Allen, who I really like to work with, came from Portland to record it. And we only gave ourselves 2 days to do it, and it's like 15 or 16 tunes. The problem was to find this middle ground or this third way, you know, of that's how David described it when we were, you know, when he was producing the record. It was really hard to, in a sense, because I had gotten so good at some of the arrangements I had made, because I spent a long time, once I had this project, you know, the offer to do it, I started to research it. I transcribed a lot of the tunes, you know, all of the tunes. I transcribed the, like, vocal melodies from versions that I like, because I wanted there to be a particular nuance of the vocal melody that you lose a lot when you have charts, you know. So I wanted to try and capture as close as I could to a vocal performance, with the, at least with the melodic interpretation. And then I arranged it for guitar, you know, where you're going to have multiple parts that the guitar is capable of playing, you know, and really striving to have some variety. Because the thing was, the meditative state thing was really special and cool, but I don't know, like, an hour-long record of very amorphous music would have really kind of held the attention. I'm interested also in arrangement and like really trying to create something that is somewhat reproducible, even though it'll be different every time. You're not gonna have to lay the golden egg every time. There's elements that are there that are gonna be compelling, and so I spent some time working that out, and so then it was an issue of letting go, as far as, like, answer your question directly. Once I got in there, I was able to do that, you know. It worked out, but it wasn't easy, and it was stressful and it was definitely, like, but then it ultimately, because it was so much material to deal with, it was hard to, like, keep track of it in that time, and it was exhausting, but I mean, I think that was, like, the birth pains, because ultimately I ended up being really happy with what happened. I didn't even realize when I got the take sometimes, you know. I was just listening back 5 days later and I was like, oh, that was the take, you know. I had no idea. So
there's a version of, I think it's Doc Boggs, I Hope I Live a Few More Days.
Yeah.
And there's a video online for that. That, let me just say, you know, there's a lot of videos for songs out there. And there's many, many wonderful things. But I just feel so many of them don't have much soul. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. Just for my personal taste or whatever it is. But that video, to me, just has so much soul to it. And it's so simple and beautiful. And the music is just perfect. I just wonder, do you feel that way about that particular video? And I won't spoil the surprise of seeing it, because it wasn't what I was expecting. You know?
Right, right. So, thank you so much for saying that. and yeah, I am 100% thrilled about how that came out. And it was, you know, I was thinking of making a video or two for the album, and that song is kind of one of the more kind of peppy tunes. It's in a major key. It's more in the traditional style. Like, it's one of the only ones in the style of, you know, country blues style, like, pretty straightforward in a way. But I just was listening to it, and I suddenly had this idea of, you know, just kind of like old footage of family videos, you know, like old home movies, you know. So yeah, it was definitely. And my wife, who's, you know, a wonderful artist, multimedia artist, and she, you know, works a lot in video, and she shot it and edited it. And so, yeah, we were really happy with it. Should we talk about what's in the video, or you want to keep it a surprise, you said? Because I won't. I'm definitely, like, super stoked on it, and I hope people enjoy it, because it's really sweet, you know. It's really, and it's bittersweet given the content of the song. Like, the lyrics of the song, but they're not there, you know. You don't really, like, so you'd have to kind of know that the song was, like, but I guess the title kind of gives that away. I Hope I Live a Few More Days, because,
yeah,
you know what I mean? There's, like, a sadness to that.
Right, and that's the thing, because I went into the video with my idea of where it was going, or you know, when I saw, oh, okay, you're doing this tune, okay. And then what's in there is not what I was expecting, but it is 100% effective.
Awesome.
I will say, yeah. And so I say we don't tell them. I think
okay,
they should go. So as soon as this interview is over, just go to YouTube, search Shane Parrish. I Hope I Live a Few More Days. You'll see the video there. But in the meantime, let's hear the recorded version. You're listening to Studio 865. Thank you. you're going to be in Knoxville playing for the Big Ears Festival as well.
That's right.
So can you tell me a little bit about that? Because that's going to be a completely different thing than this record. Or is it? Or do you know yet?
I do. Well, yeah, it's I'm doing two sets at the Big Ears Festival. So one, I'm playing with my band, Aluchatistas, with the drummer Ryan Oslance. You know, and that's kind of been my main project for about 15 years or more now. I don't know. So I'm doing that, and that'll be more of a like experimental kind of rock show. And
It's louder and kind of crazy adventurous. I mean, the name of the band comes from, correct me if I'm wrong, it's from like a bebop tune mixed with a, you know, Southern Mexico political movement.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so we're going to play. We actually played Big Ears the second time, I think, they had Big Ears. I want to say, I don't remember what year, 2011? 10 or 11.
I can't recall.
9, 10, I don't know. But it might have been 2009, actually. But so we're really excited to play it again. And then I'm going to do a solo performance at Big Ears Festival playing this music from the Undertaker Please Drive Slow record.
Okay.
Which I'm really excited about, having the opportunity to do that. I was preparing for some, you know, the gigs I have coming up for that, you know, for this album. And I really think it's evolving in this way. That's really interesting I'm sort of an observer of it. I feel like the music has a life of its own, and I feel like just seeing how everything kind of intermingles, I'm pretty excited to see where it'll be in the spring. You know, I think it's going to come just be more, more and more.
It'll just be a lot more and more.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your first Big Ears experience like? I guess I'm thinking it was 2009.
Yeah, that was really cool. Let's see, I saw Terry Riley's NC performed.
Over we did the organ thing over at the, did you see the organ thing at the Cox Auditorium?
I wish I had. No, I don't think I caught that. Oh, Joanna Newsom's set I thought was phenomenal.
Did you have fun time yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
playing it was fantastic.
Which venue did you play?
I want to say it was like an annex building that was, I think that's what it was called. It was like a big kind of warehouse space. And we played right next to Andy from the X. Andy something from the X. And DJ Rupture. And it was cool.
Do you get to Knoxville often or?
Not enough, really. We've played the Pilot Light several times. And that's a great spot. And we've been... I think one of the first gigs I ever played out of town was in Knoxville at this cafe in the old city over there. And I remember like they gave us like $7 after the gig and they wouldn't give us free coffee. It was at the coffee place. It was like, and it was with these like screamo, like teenage, like hardcore bands or something. I don't know.
I know exactly what happened and where you were.
I guess at a certain point, like when you first get, you know, you have to go out there into the world, you know, and play shows to like figure out what's going on and just to, you know, kind of find your audience. And so we did a lot of that early on, but I love coming to Knoxville and
well, it's been interesting for us too, because, you know, you're talking about how Asheville's changed. I mean, Knoxville's really changed dramatically too in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the art scene here is, I mean, I will speak with a certain amount of envy for the Asheville music scene and the restaurant scene in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like now it's the cities are more alike than they used to be in a good way. You know, I think this is kind of a neat time in this in the history of these towns.
Do you guys get a lot of any of the smoke from the fires that are going on?
Yeah, so we recorded this November the 20th. Yeah, the Blount County. In particular, which is right next door, got a ton of it. In fact, today is the first day I haven't gone outside and been able to taste it.
Oh,
wow. I could taste the smoke
a
week. And I know you guys were getting hammered too.
Oh, it's terrible. I like up and took the family to Atlanta like for the weekend last weekend. It was so bad.
It's a good idea.
You know, my daughter's like, I don't want her breathing, you know, that. Anyway.
We're talking with Shane Paris. His new recording is called Undertaker, Please Drive Slow. It's a collection of solo acoustic guitar pieces, and we'll hear a couple more here. Shane, thanks for joining us here on Studio 865, and we'll see you at Big Ears, or, you know, if we have time machines, we'll see you tonight.
Awesome. Thank you so much.